This story from the Gospel of John of Jesus and the Samaritan woman is one of the most moving and powerful in the Gospels. Some commentators have called it the story that reveals the most about Jesus. The context of Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman is important to understand its significance. Jews and Samaritans were a little bit like Giants fans and Dodgers fans. Or perhaps a better example would be when the A's were still in Oakland, like when the Oakland A's would play the Giants. There was bad blood. They were different ethno-religious groups, but they were essentially two different versions of the same Israelite religion. The Jews viewed Mount Zion, which in biblical times included the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, as the holy mountain. Samaritans viewed Mount Gerizim as the holy mountain of God's presence. To understand it, imagine those of us who live in Marin are the Jews, and Mount Tam is the holy mountain. The Samaritans live in the East Bay, and they say Mount Diablo is the holy mountain. They probably wouldn't have called it Mount Diablo, but we, like Jesus, would have said, you worship what you do not know. Jacob's well, shared by both traditions, is in the shadow of Mount Gerizim, which is in today's West Bank. And Samaritans still worship on Mount Gerizim, though it's estimated that there are probably fewer than a couple thousand Samaritans left in the world. Jews avoided this region. So Jesus traveling there is notable. Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman is scandalous, which is the point. He is a Jew getting a drink from a Samaritan. He is violating social norms by being a man who is publicly interacting with a woman in this way. And the text hints that the woman may have been an outcast. It could be because of her long marriage history and the fact that she's cohabitating with someone that isn't her husband. Or it could be that her life has been marked by tragedy. But women would have come to the well in the morning as a group to gather water, not alone at noon, as in the passage today. So what we can glean was that the woman was not welcome with the others. Whether she was an outcast in some way or because her life was marked by tragedy, others avoided her in fear. But it's important to note that when she went to the city, they did listen to her. Jesus asks for a drink of water and then begins his discourse on living water. And this interaction at Jacob's well reminds us that in serving those who thirst, we encounter Christ. And I would say there are allusions to baptism in this passage. In this encounter, the truth of the living water is revealed. The woman says to Jesus, "You have no bucket. How are you going to draw water?" And the point of the passage is that the woman is the bucket. Each one of us is the bucket. And we are asked, "What is in your bucket?" Jesus is the living water. Is there room in your bucket, in your life, for the living water? And one way to think about this holy season of Lent is as a time to clear away the things in our bucket, the things in our lives that keep it from being filled with living water. Because the living water that is Jesus changes everything. Jesus says to the woman, "The hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." In this statement, Jesus transforms the geography of God, faith, and religion. Jesus is saying that the Spirit of God does not reside on a mountaintop, whether Zion or Gerizim, but in the human heart. And Jesus plants a spring of living water in the Samaritan woman, not because she is righteous, but because she is thirsty for God. Sarah Miles, who is a writer and is very involved in food pantry and other ministries at St. Gregory of Nyssa Episcopal Church in San Francisco, she wrote about this passage, "Salvation doesn't depend on getting things right. It depends on thirst." The Samaritan woman goes forth to her city to share the living water with those who thirst. And in Eastern Orthodox Christianity, the Samaritan woman is celebrated as a saint who is considered equal to the apostles for her evangelism. Next to my bed, I have a go bag in case there's a wildfire or earthquake, and it has various supplies in it. And one of the things in it is a product called a life straw. And a life straw looks like a giant straw, basically, that is a filter so that you can drink purified water out of contaminated water. It's kind of supposed to save your life, right? Life straw. Save your life if you can't find water to drink. And I think of the times that Jesus has been that life straw for me. And how can I share the life straw that is Jesus with those who thirst? How do you share the living water? The Samaritan woman in this passage is never named. By social and religious standards, Jesus should not be speaking with her. But she is everything to Jesus in that moment. In her thirst for living water, the truth of Christ springs forth and is revealed. Salvation doesn't depend on getting things right. It depends on thirst. To borrow a phrase from an ad campaign, stay thirsty, my friends.